I'll first read a hadith and thereafter, inshallah, we'll resume. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyihil Mustafa wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man bihim iqtada. An Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه عنهما قال لو صليت صلاة لم أصلي فيها على محمد وعلى آل محمد ما رأيت أنها تقبل وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ألا أيها الناس فإنما أنا بشر يوشك أن يأتي رسول ربي فأجيب وأنا تارك فيكم ثقلين أولهما كتاب الله فيه الهدى والنور فخذوا بكتاب الله واستمسكوا به ثم قال وأهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ایک دفعہ درود شریف پڑھنے اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. MashaAllah, you brothers made the effort. You started reciting Durood Sharif in abundance. Last week, MashaAllah, the total was over 150,000. In fact, we were peaking around about 500,000. More than 500,000. But that was not done in just 1 week. That was done over a period of few weeks. Earlier, MashaAllah, you'd completed 2 million Durood Sharif. And then last week we set a task that inshallah set a target that we'll do about 150 per week. So we'll discuss that later. But for now, inshallah, as promised, we started the series on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam particularly, we're focusing at a subject which is quite neglected. And not many talk about this. And it has become for some a controversial subject. Some people consider it to be controversial, and it's not controversial. This is the mainstream of the Ummah, and this is what we're discussing, and that is the rights of Ahlul Bayt Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their huquq, their rights, and our duty towards them. This is something which Sahaba radiallahu anhum practiced, and they demonstrated through their actions that this is an important area, and this is something which needs to be taken seriously. And on the footsteps of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this trend was then forwarded by the great Imams of the Ummah. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmahullah. And thereafter the great scholars of Hadith, likes of Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam An-Nasai, Imam Abu Dawood, and all the major scholars. And this trend has continued until this day and age. All our elders, they understand, they acknowledge, they accept their duty towards Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they make active effort to instill that kind of mahabbat and love in the family, in the hearts of the future generations, the students that are in their care, their murids, their disciples. So the shuyukh, they specifically talk about the rights and the our responsibility towards Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They treat Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with great respect, and they teach their students that when you deal with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then bear in mind your duty towards them. So this is something which is not controversial at all, and subhanallah, some people, because this subject is being neglected, they then live with misconceptions, and they have these kind of misunderstandings. Many think that there are people who are hell bent on causing friction amongst Muslims, and some people it suits them that to drum the kind of misleading narrative. And there are many innocent people, many countless innocent people who have fallen prey to that propaganda, and they live with doubts, and they think, they blame the mainstream of the Ummah, the Ahl Sunnah, they blame them for all the evils and all the wrongs that were done to Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, his martyrdom is discussed in the month of Muharram, you'd be surprised that there are about 80 channels, more than 80 channels. These 80 channels existed about 8-10 years ago. 80 channels around the world that drum that particular narrative in English, in Arabic, in Urdu, in African languages. They drum that narrative where they lay blame of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom at the door of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. At the door, they start with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they blame him anyway. And then they take it forward to Sayyidina Uthman, then to Sayyidina Umar, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And recently, about it's been over a year now, a movie was made at the cost of about £16 million. Now we struggle to raise $500,000. We struggle to raise a few hundred thousand to set up an institute, a school or a masjid or a madrasa or something. And they managed to raise £16 million for a movie. And that movie was all about Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, she's presented as the main character, and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are presented as the villains, particularly Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum. That they go and they target Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, they harass her. And if anyone, an innocent mind, watches that movie, the end of it, he'll consider Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the greatest enemy of Islam. And he'll watch Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, consider Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu as someone who's probably the worst villain in the history of mankind. And so this is this narrative, and people buy this, and people watch this. Allah knows how many minds were poisoned. So what's happening? How do we counter this? Now some people started organizing rallies, demonstrations, or this is an offense to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, it should be banned. Whether it's banned or not banned, it didn't hit at all. It didn't become popular. It didn't raise any money for those who'd made that investment. But they weren't in it for making money anyway. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and then this has done the damage. And then not only them, there are other people. Some people through this controversy, they make a lot of money. They make a clip and then they put it on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. And that clip, in that they raise allegations against Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It is an easy and soft target. So it becomes hot and becomes controversial. People share, people talk about it. And then the views hit millions and they make money from the platforms. So this, they earn a living from this. And they are not just one such individual. There are many, unfortunately. There are many. Some have just gained notoriety. They became notorious. But the others are just on the fringes, on the sides. They're just using this as a weapon or as a tool to make money. And they do not think there's anything wrong with it. So it's the duty of the ulama, it's the duty of imams. MashaAllah, there are, in terms of masajid, the masajid of mainstream are there are much more than these deviated people. So the members are there, the pulpits are there, the khatibs are there, the ulama are there. So it is our duty to talk about this subject, our duty towards Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as I said, this is not a very popular subject. It's very educational. It deals with some myths and some misconceptions. So we need to talk about this. And let me tell you a frightening aspect. Those who are listening at home or those who will be listening later, a frightening and scary aspect. If you go to Umrah, and if you go to Duan Tawaf, and if you go to Medina Munawwara, you would hear a dua being made. Allahumma ajjil farja Ali Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means, oh Allah, hasten and speed up the deliverance of the family of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What it means that Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are constantly being persecuted. Even in this day and age, they are being persecuted. And oh Allah, hasten their deliverance. Allah unki kushadgi ko jaldi kar. کہ ان پر آسانیاں ہوں, ان کی مشکلات ختم ہوں, اور اے اللہ اس کو جلدی کر دے. اللہم عجل. And this is like we recite درود شریف. This is like a درود is being recited. by countless people. Yani, I won't say countless, but many people. Allah, they think that they're making a dua. But what does he mean? You try and dig down. What does he mean? Who are the persecutors? Who are the culprits? The culprits are assumed to be Ahlul Sunnah. Those who follow the footsteps of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Those who hold Umar in high esteem. They are presented as the culprits who are persecuting Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then people are recruited under this slogan. Go and fight against Sunnis. Carry out massacres. And massacres took place in Iraq. Massacres took place in Sham. And there are massacres that happen in other parts of the world that do not get reported. And people go and they persecute and then they harass. They think that it's legitimate and it's very noble and it's very rewarding and it's a great act of ibadah to persecute Ahlul Sunnah. Because they think about Abu Hussein radiallahu anhu dying thirsty in Karbala. They think about the children being massacred in Karbala. And they think that these children that sit in front of us, the children of Ahlul Sunnah, they are responsible for whatever happened to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So they show no mercy. When they come across a child of a Sunni cutting his throat and tearing that child apart and raping a Muslim Sunni girl, in their minds is an act of ibadah. If you go and see what's happening in Iraq, if you go and see what's happening in Sham, and this is something, the model that's being replicated in many other parts of the world. Children are being taught hatred. They're brought up with this hatred in their minds. So they would sit next to you and they make dua, Allahumma ajjil farja Ali Muhammad. So who's persecuting Ali Muhammad? Who's persecuting Ali Muhammad? Allegedly, or the mind in their minds, it's sometimes they talk about Saudi regime. I'm not a defender of Saudi regime. I'm not a politician. I'm not defending any regime. But Ahlul Sunnah are not to blame at all. Ahlul Sunnah, we need to deal with that poison in those innocent minds. And if what I'm saying, if it can be shared with those people who think that the Sunni, the average Sunni of today, has any hatred or dislike for the family of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that mind needs to be tackled. That misconception needs to be tackled. Somebody needs to go and challenge those myths that Ahlul Sunnah do not have any kind of hatred or any kind of negativity against the family of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the history shows that all our great imams, they aligned themselves with Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who's considered as the most superior in terms of fuqaha and the jurisprudence of this ummah, he's known as Shaheed Ahlul Bayt, the person who had sacrificed his life to defend the cause and the champion the cause of Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the ruler, the Khalifa, wanted him to on his side, and Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he intentionally, despite fully knowing the consequences, he refused. He said, not at all. And instead, when Zayd ibn, what's his name, who was from Ahlul Bayt, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he raised an army against the Khalifa, Sayyidina Imam Hanifa rahimahullah was supporting him through money, through donations, through students. People who fought alongside Imam Zayd rahimahullah, they were not all, they were all the students of Abu Hanifa, and they were students of mainstream muhaddith scholars of hadith, and they were the students of mainstream scholars of Islam, and they fought along Imam Zayd, who was a successor of Sayyidina Zain al-Abidin rahimahullah, and he fought alongside them, and they sacrificed their lives. They were all Ahlul Sunnah. And Zain al-Abidin, I'll give you a few stories later. The events that happened, the history, historical events, how they were showered love and mahabbat and reverence and respect by the mainstream of this ummah. So if anyone is fed that poison amongst our brothers, the average listeners, or even our sisters, Ahlul Sunnah sisters, Sunni sisters, they without realizing, Sunni women, they think that, oh subhanallah, they mention Yazid and they mention in the same time Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and then they just blame everybody, the Ahlul Sunnah ulama, that they're the culprits and they side with Yazid. And this is totally untrue. This is not true at all. Muslims are the Ahlus Sunnah are the ones who fought and who supported and who defended the Ahlul Bayt throughout history, and people that persecuted them, they were afraid of Ahlul Bayt because of their popularity, because they knew that the masses of the Ummah stood with the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shia, those who championed the cause of Ahlul Bayt, they were in significant minority, less than 10%, maybe maximum 14%. The rulers weren't afraid of those 10% or 14%. They were afraid of the 86% Ahlul Sunnah that had so much love for Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if any child, anyone is being poisoned, someone travels from Britain to go and fight in Iraq or terrorize Muslims in Iraq, or goes to Sham to terrorize Muslims in Sham, or goes to any other part of the world to terrorize Muslims there and persecute Muslims there, and, or he thinks that doesn't condemn such behavior, then that mind has a delusion. Somebody needs to address that delusion. Someone needs to speak to them and say to them that what you being fed through the 80 channels that I mentioned earlier, 85 channels and countless YouTube channels, and Allah, may Allah forgive some of our so-called Sunni scholars as well, who have no shame in accusing the mainstream ulama and the mainstream Muslim communities, Ahlul Sunnah, for the wrongs that were done to Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from such fitna and falling into their trap. That is one. And secondly, we need to remind ourselves of the significance of Ahlul Bayt, because the future of the Ummah, the future saviors of the Ummah, the future Imam of the Ummah, it will be from Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mahdi alayhi ridwan will be from Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We need to understand that Allah, the deliverance of this ummah, will be at the hands of Ahlul Bayt. So we need to understand, we need to realize that Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam are very important. So this is, with this opening, let us continue from where we left last week. And we were talking about, where were we? To be honest, I totally forgot. Where did we finish the subject? Does anyone remember? Did we talk about Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? Umar radiallahu anhu. So did it, when I baat ki thi uske baare mein, wo jo Shahzadi, Shahrbano. Did we talk about Shahrbano last week? Persia. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu and the other, right. So I was there, this lady that comes, and this lady then, so we talked about last week, if anyone wants to listen and missed what we talked about last week, then he needs to listen to, and I think the masjid has the recording of the last week's discussion, and I think it's on their website. You can go and revisit and listen to what we discussed last week. So we were talking about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, how he puts Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the top. So he sets up a register, and there he puts people in some structure, in some sequence, and also talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us adab, anzilun nasa manazilahum, treat people according to their status, their respect that they enjoy. So bear in mind and do not ignore the position of individuals. So if you, and I talked about this, I don't want to repeat. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he categorized the people, even in modern day and age, there are classes of people. There's a class system. So class system is meant, and it's there for a reason, and it makes a difference. Opportunities should be given to everyone, same opportunities. But those who make use of those opportunities and do well in life, then their effort needs to be acknowledged and recognized. Two people stand side by side. One is hired for a salary, and he's paid. He's offered a job of £90,000 and £120,000. And the other person wants to do some work, and he wants to be hired. And the employer would be reluctant to even hire him, or they may hire him for petty kind of minimum wage. So even though they're both same the human beings, but one is being valued significantly more than the other, because he has more value. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if this is the case, then treat people according to their potential, according to their status. So anzilun nasa manazilahum, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he put this category. He categorized people who sits at the top, and in that category, in that register, he listed the family of the Prophet ﷺ right at the top. Even the children, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, who were the teenagers yet at the time, but he put them in the category of the top Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the likes of those who were present in Badr, those who were present in Bay'atul Shajara, the oath that was given under the tree at the time of Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So the top Sahaba in the category was Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, who were kids, simply because they were the grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were Ahlul Bayt. So at one particular occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu distributed some clothes to the people of Medina. And when he did this, when he came to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, Hazrat Abu Umar radiallahu anhu didn't give him anything. He did not give them any clothes. And instead, he ordered from some special dresses to be prepared for the two. And he said that the clothes that I distributed earlier, they weren't of the quality that suits you, O family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They weren't, mashallah, they were too ordinary. And for you, it has to be something special. So he made a special order that from Yemen, there were some dresses that were prepared particularly, especially for the two princes, Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhumah, and they were brought to Medina. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took them to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah, and he asked them to put them on. And when once they wore those clothes, he said, "Now I feel happy. Now I feel happy. Now I feel satisfied that I've done my job. And now this is time. This is something. Now I think that I've been fair and I've done what I ought to." And this was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu treating the two grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he gives them the more when he allotted in that register. He fixed 5,000 dirhams for the top Sahaba. See, even Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu would receive 5,000 dirhams per annum, and the others would receive 500, and it depends. Some would receive 2,000, 4,000, some 3,000, some 2,000, some the lowest was about 500. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he put the 5,000 for the top Sahaba, for the elders, for the senior, in the category of the senior were Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. So anything that you see at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he puts the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right at the top. And this is why the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also held Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, they were ready to sacrifice their lives to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So they had a lot of mahabbat. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu had a lot of mahabbat with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu himself held him in a high esteem. There was an occasion when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided to march out and join the army of Muslims and decided to move to Syria and lead the Muslim army from the front, because it was a difficult time. They thought that Muslims were incurring major losses at the battlefront, and Umar radiallahu anhu felt that their morale will go down. So he decided to personally go and lead the Muslim armies from the front. But who stopped him from doing so? Who stopped him from doing so? What do you think? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, not you. You cannot go because we cannot expose you to that risk." If Ali radiallahu anhu wanted to cause any harm to Umar radiallahu anhu, he would have said, "Of course, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are needed at the forefront. Go and expose yourself to that danger, hoping that he gets killed and the path becomes clear for him." If Ali radiallahu anhu had any desire to become Khalifa himself, not the case. So the narrative that is built around the event of Karbala is painful to us Muslims, because not only it was a cruelty and injustice to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is further used to create this dislike and fitna amongst the Muslims. So we are our halat and our state is more painful, and it's more delicate for us, and it's very disturbing for us. On one side, we want to mourn the loss of Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, but on the other side, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, but on the other side, the way it's done, it's used to to throw dirt on Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu, and that hurts us. That is very hurtful. So people say, why do you not join the majlises where Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom is kind of, people mourn and people wail and people talk about this? We say we can't go there. We cannot go there because you're using this to throw dirt on the family, on Ahlu Sunnah. You use this to throw dirt on Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So it is painful when you hold such majalis, and the reason is not that we support the massacre. It's because you paint it in such a light where you use it to target the innocent people. So that trend which I said, Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were supporters of Al Khulafa ur Rashidun. They loved Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu. And after Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu was martyred, the next successor was Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. Even though the opportunity, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they were both neck to neck. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was senior, and Ali radiallahu anhu was also senior. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, after me, when he was martyred, and when he was attacked and he was injured on his deathbed, he said, there are six people, I think every single one of them has the capacity and the potential to be the next Khalifa. He's got that caliber, and he's of that. That level that he can be, if he's chosen as a Khalifa, he's got the caliber to do the job. But he says, I can't, rather than me nominating one, I'd let you guys choose. So he puts the six names forward. One of them is Umar, one of them is Uthman radiallahu anhu, and one of them is Ali radiallahu anhu. And the other is Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd, and from Ashra Mubashara, amongst the 10 that were given the glad tiding of Jannat by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he chose those six people. He said, these are people, if you choose any one of them to be the next Khalifa, he's got the potential and he's got the capacity. So the six of them sit together, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu says, why don't you let me lead? And because it's going to become difficult, let me take the lead. I will choose for you. If you all, I'll help you choose. They said, of course, you take the lead. So he goes and he speaks to individually. Who do you think should be the next Khalifa? And these were people, they were totally genuine, they were sincere people, they were not greedy, they didn't want, none of them had the desire to become famous or to become a leader. They all would preferred the path of humility. But when he went, now these were people on the other side, they were mindful of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to them. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given some special advice to Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had given some special advice to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was taught that, Ali, if when you become Khalifa, when the matter is handed over to you, you must do this and you must do that and you must behave in this way and you must do this. And Ali is mindful that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me that when the matter is given to you and you put in charge, bear in mind A, B, C, T, D. And Uthman radiallahu anhu is also mindful the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, when the matter comes to you and you made in charge, make sure you do this and you do not do this and behave in this way and they both think that the time has come. The individually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given them special instructions, special nasihat. Now they're waiting. They think that pretty time has come. So when Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu goes to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, he says, what do you think? He's quiet. He's afraid that if I say something, I will probably reveal the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The special advice that I was given by him, I must not ignore it. When he goes to Uthman radiallahu anhu says, now the special advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given to me, I must not reveal the secrets, I must stay quiet. So now Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he says, now everybody else has surrendered their desire, and they say, we do not want to be Khalifa, you choose someone else, but these two people are quiet. Ali radiallahu anhu doesn't say anything, Uthman radiallahu anhu doesn't say anything. Now he says to the two individually, separately, do you allow me, do you have enough trust in me that if I choose one of you to be the Khalifa, would you listen to me? They both said, yes, we'll listen to you. Because they're not interested in becoming Khalifa. All they're doing is carrying out the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu thinks that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to me, when matter comes to you, then be careful. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are given a shirt, a robe by the ummah, and if anyone asks you to take off that robe, derobe and give up, do not listen to them. Do not listen to them and keep it on until, regardless of what may happen to you. Now Umar ibn Abu is mindful, the Prophet ﷺ had promised me that when the robe is given to you, then make sure that you keep it on and do not give it up. Doesn't matter what people say, until regardless of what may happen, do not give up. Now Umar ibn Abu says, what should I do? The Prophet ﷺ said to me, now I can't say no to it. So now Abdurrahman ibn Auf consults one, consults the other. Eventually, as Allah Ta'ala had decreed, as Allah Ta'ala wanted, he decided to make an announcement, Uthman radiallahu anhu is going to be the successor, Umar radiallahu anhu is going to be the third Khalifa. What does Ali radiallahu anhu do? Ali radiallahu anhu thinks, okay, now this is being chosen, fine. Okay, goes and does bayat with Uthman radiallahu anhu. You the Khalifa. That's it, the matter of the life just moves on. There is no shift, there is no rift, there is no tension. Although Ali radiallahu anhu is wondering, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to me? So he is in that mind. What did the Prophet ﷺ say to me? He had instructed, he had said that this will happen to happen. It didn't happen, maybe it'll happen later in the future. And so as Usman radiallahu anhu says, okay, the Prophet ﷺ has said this to me, now the time has come, I must deliver. So he starts making the effort, he starts leading from the front, and then he starts taking on the challenges, and then one after the other, he consults Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. At one occasion, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu thought that we should issue a decree outlawing certain practices. Certain things are, nobody should do it because people are abusing some of the concessions that the Prophet ﷺ had given. So he makes a plan, consults Sahaba, should we take away this concession that the Prophet ﷺ had given? Should we take away this concession? They all agree, yes, you should. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu says, to checks we say, Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu says, no, you cannot take away this concession. The Prophet ﷺ gave this concession, even if you instruct, we will not support you, because you would be taking away something that the Prophet ﷺ gave. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, okay, if you say so, I will not give that concession. I will not take away that concession. I'll keep it as it is. So people continue with it. So they were working together as a team, consulting one another, and life was going on. Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu was actually defending Uthman radiallahu anhu. When these rebels, when they came and they laid siege against around the house of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, who came to defend him? Majority of Sahaba were away to perform Hajj. Now I don't know if you guys know this the detail, but you should go and study this. And if you want, at another time, inshallah, we'll talk about Uthman radiallahu anhu in detail and what happened to him at the end. So, who goes to defend Uthman radiallahu anhu's house? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and his two sons, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. Now Uthman radiallahu anhu, the rebels had laid siege against around his house, and they would not allow any water or any food to pass their ranks. But Ali radiallahu anhu sends his children, Hassan and Hussein, go and take this food for your uncle Uthman radiallahu anhu. Now the two go, because they have mahabbat for Uthman radiallahu anhu. They go and they stand at the gates of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu with their swords. Nobody dare comes close to the house. If they come, if they want to enter, over our dead bodies. Who's saying this? Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. Why? Were they scared? Now Uthman radiallahu anhu has been significantly weakened. If they wanted to lead that rebellion, they could have. But they are on the side of Uthman radiallahu anhu, ready to sacrifice their lives for Uthman radiallahu anhu, for the Khalifa. Why? Because they had mahabbat for the Khulafa. They loved the Khulafa because the Khulafa were mindful and they were doing their duty, the best duty in regards to the rights of Ahlul Bayt, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The story I mentioned last week about Nosheerwan, about the Iranian, the Persian king and his daughter coming to Medina and her being married to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Many are of the opinion that this happened during the time of Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. But others argue that Yazdgird was alive until year 32. Some say that he was killed in the year 35 after Hijrah. Now 32 is the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, not of Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So they argue that that event actually happened during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, not during the time of Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So they say that it was Uthman radiallahu anhu who married the daughter of the Persian king to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu in marriage. It was Uthman radiallahu anhu, not Ali radiallahu anhu. Anyway, one or the other, the Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a lot of mahabbat with the Khulafa, with Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu here in this case. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's inside And who's guarding at the gates? The two grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now they are youth. They are young men. Sayyidina Hassan was born in the year 5 or 6, in the year 5 after Hijrah. Now it's the year 35. So he is about 30 years old. And 2 years younger is Sayyidina Hussein, 28 years old. So they are in their prime youth. And mashaAllah, they have following in Medina. When they stood at the gates of Sayyidina Usman's house, the people of Medina, the other youth, they came, they rallied around them. And Usman became aware that Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu were standing at the gates, ready to take on the rebels. He says, No. Your lives are more precious than mine. I do not want to save my life with the cost of the lives of the Ahlul Bayt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pleaded to them in the name of Allah, for God's sake, for Allah's sake, please return home. I do not want you to be exposed to danger. I would rather face the difficulty and danger myself, but I would never ever allow the danger to come to you. So Usman radiallahu anhu pleads to them and insists that they should go home, and then they were forced to, and they had to, because this was a time when people, they took their Amir seriously. Hum logon ke liye to, for if Amir says something, we have no such concept. They are still mashallah, but for them, Jamaat wale Sati thoda, they have some understanding of Amir. If Amir Sahib says you can't go out, they, even though they want to go out, they'll say Amir Sahib ne keh diya bhai ab nahi ja sakte. Amir Sahib says that you can't use the mobile phones, they'll, from deep inside, they'll be upset, but they will not use mobile phones. Amir Sahib says your uncle's here, but you can't go and meet him. You're in this city where your uncle lives, but you can't go and meet him. He won't go, and deep inside he'll be upset. But say Amir Sahib ke khilaf nahi kar sakte. We can't go against Amir Sahib's instructions. So this was the Muslim society just in general. If the Amir Khalifa issued some instruction, then people felt compelled to do it, carry it out, even though they didn't agree to it. They still had to, because this was the hukam of the Amir. You know the story, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time, when he'd instructed this girl having conversation with her mother, and she says, the mother says, my dear daughter, add some water to the milk. And she says, Mom, do you not remember Amir al-Mu'mineen has issued the instructions that no one should add water to the milk. So I can't do this. Now the mother is saying, do it. And the daughter says, no, we can't do it because it's haram. Amir Sahib, the Khalifa, the Amir al-Mu'mineen has given instruction. We can't go against his instructions. So this was the general mindset. And in that mindset, Hassan and Hussain radiallahu anhu had no choice but to do as the Amir Sahib said, as the Khalifa said, you must go home. You can't stay here. So eventually they went home and they left the place. But they were prepared to sacrifice their lives for the Khalifa, for the Amir al-Mu'mineen, because of the muhabbat and the reverence that they had for him. So this trend then continues. Next comes Sayyidina, after Usman radiallahu anhu, who comes next? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu is Ahlul Bayt himself. So I don't need to give you the details of how Ali radiallahu anhu made his efforts to serve the cause of Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But generally Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were very respectful. They had a lot of mahabbat for Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would do things for them many of you would not do. And I've seen my elders, say our Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, and I've seen our Akabir, that when Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come, they would treat them with a lot of respect. A lot of respect, that these are Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if they made a slip here and there, they would oversee and they would ignore, even amongst their students, because they were Sayyids, they were Sadat. And Sadat ka to ek khas, special, mashallah, recognition for Sadat. So what happens amongst Ahlul Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to praise Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu himself is a great scholar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, if anyone wants to recite Quran as fresh as Jibreel alayhi salam recites, what is he saying? As Jibreel alayhi salam recites, if anyone wants to recite Quran like Jibreel alayhi salam, then he should recite like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, direct from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I learned 70 surahs of the Quran al-Kareem. The total surahs are 114. 70 surahs, and it's not just the last small surahs, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran. So he says, these 70 surahs I learned directly from the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others I learned from other people that had learned. So through the circles, they used to take place in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to recite Quran like, so when and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that he recites Quran like, and he'd said that if you want to learn Quran, then learn Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He'd mentioned four Sahaba. One of them is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, other is Ubayy ibn Ka'b, and I think the other one is Abu Dharr as well, but there are four of them. I mentioned someone else before, but Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is not in amongst those four. The four, the best qadis of the ummah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Ubayy ibn Ka'b, but Sayyidina Ali doesn't mention, and the other two, but Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's name is not mentioned there. Yet, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to openly acknowledge the virtue and the superiority of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He wouldn't shy away from saying it. He would say that the person who is the best in terms of passing judgment over disputes, the problems of the people, and the person who understands the ahkam of inheritance best in this ummah is Ali radiallahu anhu. Any issue, if you have any problem, go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he'll find a solution for you. If there's a dispute, there's misunderstanding, if any concern about an issue that relates to the ahkam of inheritance, go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, because he's the best and he has the best understanding amongst all. So even though he himself carries a lot of virtue, but he praises Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and acknowledges his superiority. So how can you say that they wanted to put down Ahl Bayt? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to say, whenever I see Hassan radiallahu anhu, whenever I see the grandchild of the Prophet, grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it makes my eyes wet. It makes me cry, because seeing him reminds me of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sight of Hassan radiallahu anhu brings tears in my eyes and makes me cry and makes me remember Sayyidina the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says Abu Hazim says that once I attended a funeral and I saw that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was there, and I noticed that that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu came, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was cleaning the feet of Hussein radiallahu anhu using his clothes. With his clothes, his pagri, his amama, his chadar, whatever he had, he was using his amama and his turban, which is obviously a mark of honor, using his turban and his clocks, he used it to wipe the dust from the feet of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. And remember, for Arab people's feet and slipper is something very, is something that's a symbol of disgrace. So if you throw your slipper at George Bush, then you're expressing your extreme disgust for the man. So slipper and the feet, it's not a symbol of honor. So if you wipe the feet of someone with your amama, with your turban, that is a mark of utmost respect and at most humility before that person. So Abu Huraira, Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you speak to these brothers, the ones that are misfed, and the brothers that have been misinformed, if you speak to them, they do not have any respect for Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. They insult, they think that it's an ibadat to curse Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu for some reason, because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, among Sahaba, he's the one who has reported the most ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most kathiru riwayah sahabi is Abu Huraira. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, yet he has such mahabbat and such regard for Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he's using his turban and his clothes to wipe the dust and the dirt from the feet of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, another great sahabi, he says that if I ever pray salah in which I forget to recite durood upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon Ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I do not think that salat of mine would be accepted. So for my salat, my namaz to be accepted, I make sure that in my salat I recite durood upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the family of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is your case? Do you pray? Do you recite durood on Ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your salat or not? You do. I don't know if you realize. When you recite durood, what do you read, Ismail? Allahumma ala Ali Muhammadin. O Allah, invoke peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Just like the Ahl Bayt Ibrahim alayhi salam were special, that the angels had praised them. In the Quran, Allah says, the angels visited Ibrahim alayhi salam and they said, Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum Ahl al Bayt, innahu hamidun majid. Allah's rahmat, mercy and His blessings are upon you, O Ahl Bayt Ibrahim. So as Allah bless Ahl Bayt Ibrahim alayhi salam, we make dua that Allah bless the Ahl Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too. So Ahl Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very close to Muslims. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ahl Muhammad. We mentioned it twice in our namaz. So how can anyone feel that Ahl Sunnah have neglected their duty towards Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, we've not. And we're very proud of our heritage. We're very proud of this tradition, our elders, that they did for Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what they were capable of. It was time of fitna, but they did whatever they could do. Thereafter, I mentioned the Khulafa Rashidun, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, I've talked about Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the prevailing tradition amongst them. Thereafter comes the era of Fuqaha, the jurisprudence, the era of Muhaddithun, the scholars of Hadith. So let me start with Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he used to show so much mahabbat and so much love for Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he honored them to such an extent that some people started accusing him of being a Shia. They said Abu Hanifa is a Shia. Imam Hanifa rahimahullah, this did not deter him. And this did not deter him from doing what he was doing. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he used to spend openly and secretly upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the amounts that only he could afford. And he was a rich man. He was a businessman. And he would earn in one day, sometimes he would earn thousands of dirhams. And the beauty that of Sayyidina Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was that he was very rich and he knew how to spend that wealth. I think we had a talk here, the ethics of spending. How should you spend your wealth? So if you have money, how should you spend? How should you prioritize? Where should money be spent first and where should money be spent least? So Sayyidina Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he knew how to spend money, and a lot of his wealth, a significant portion of it, was reserved for the Ali Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once it's reported that someone, a poor person, he asked him for help, and he belonged to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi quietly sent him a gift, the value of which was 12,000 dirhams. If you want to understand the ratio, Sayyidina Abu Umar radiallahu anhu used to give the senior Sahaba, the annual expense that they used to get from the public treasury was 5,000 dirhams. So this is almost two and a half times more than what they thought was sufficient for a grown man's needs for 1 year. Hanifa rahimahullah sent two and a half fold of that to this individual privately, secretly, without drumming about what he was doing for one person from Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said that he was in need. And Imam Hanifa rahimahullah used to teach his students to show adab and regard to the Ahl Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a master himself. He was a master and he was a great following. And he was viewed as the authority in all the primary sciences of disciplines of deen. Yet he used to say, لَوْلَ السَّنَطَانَ لَهَلَكَ النُّعْمَانَ. He used to say, one of the people that I've learnt a lot from is Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. I said, Imam, so you recognize him. Otherwise, I normally try to avoid using such titles, this terminology for these great people. You didn't hear me say Imam Hassan. I praised Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, but you didn't hear me say Imam Hassan. You didn't hear me say Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. You would hear me say Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu. Not that they were not imams. They were much better, significantly higher than Sayyidina Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Sayyidina Abu Hanifa, even though we call him Imam Abu Hanifa. So you would hear me say Imam Abu Hanifa. You would hear me say Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But you would not hear me say Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. Why? There's a reason. The reason is that the very brothers of ours that are referred to earlier, that have been misinformed, that have been fed evil and fed falsehood, those brothers of ours think that these imams are like the anbiya, like the prophets. They receive divine instructions like the anbiya, like the prophets used to receive. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam used to visit Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and they believed that Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah was visited and he used to receive wahi like Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So they say he's imam because he gets divine instructions and receives divine guidance. And this is untrue. This is untrue. The Nabu, the wahi ended with the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people are great. They are very respectable. They are very, they are the best of the ummah, but not in a sense that they would receive divine instructions. They were human beings like others. They were not masoom. They were human beings like others. They would make just like other human beings are, even though they are the best, but they were, after all, they were human beings. They did not receive any divine instructions. They had the ilm of the Quran. They had the understanding of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were very intelligent and they were very zaki. Their IQ was significantly higher than the average people because they were the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it does not mean that they enjoyed some kind of special position as divinely supported or receiving divine instructions. So this is Sayyidina. So this is why we do not say Imam Hassan. We say Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhuma, to make it clear that these people they didn't have any divine appointment. They were the leaders, they were the elders. So to not have any similarity and to avoid that kind of misunderstanding, we intentionally do not use such titles for these dignitaries. So Sayyidina Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah. Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah was a great imam of Ahl-Sunnah. He was great imam of Ahl-Sunnah. Ahl-Sunnah held him in such high esteem that others can only imagine. They would sacrifice everything for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he went and benefited from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah. He studied with him. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah pointed out some areas where Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was weak, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah took him. Even though in terms of age, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was probably just 2 years older than Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He passed away 2 years before the death of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq passed away in 148 after Hijrah, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah passed away in 150 after Hijrah. So he passed away 2 years earlier. So in terms of age, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, again I'm saying Ja'far. Ja'far al-Sadiq, Sayyidina Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah, was born I think in the year 80 after Hijrah, in the first century of Islam, and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was born just 2 years later. Some say in the same year. So even though in terms of age they were very close, yet Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he presented himself as a student of his. So he benefited from the guidance of Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah. Now there's a question here which I'm not going to answer today, and answer it later because I'm going to revisit this subject. Then the question is, why do Ahl Sunnah follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and not of his ustad Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah? This is a question which we will come back to later. What Hazrat kehte hain, we follow fiqh Ja'fari and you follow fiqh Hanafi. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says, if I hadn't spent 2 years with Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah, I would have lost, I would have destroyed myself. And when he says that Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah had such, mashallah, great ilm, then why don't you follow his teachings? Why don't you follow his fiqh? Why don't you follow his school of law? Why do you follow the school of law of Imam Hanifa rahimahullah, who holds Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah in such high esteem? There's reason for it. And the reason for it is that, I'll just give you one simple and detail inshallah later, the reason is that Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah had some specialities in certain areas, but overall, Imam Hanifa rahimahullah had more ilm than and more structure than Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah. So in some areas, he has, just like you go, and some you have a teacher who excels in maths, but it does not mean that he is the champion, he's the best in everything. So Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah is better in some areas, but ultimately Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, in terms of academia, he's better. So we would, and I'm not doing an insult to Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah. Being Ahlul Bayt does not mean that you become best in everything. Even today, you might have 10 Sadats here sitting in the masjid, but you come and then one Qari comes and he starts reciting Quran, and his recitation is far better than the recitation of those 10 Sadats sitting here. Because this Qari Sahib devoted his life to Qira'ah, and those 10 Sadats didn't. So the Qari who's reciting best Quran is, mashallah, you would go and learn from the Qari. You would have respect for the Sadat, but that does not mean that you would take them as teachers. So having respect for Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not mean that they become the imams in salah, and they become the muftis, and they become the teachers, and they become everything. This is not what he means. It means that you look after them. So this is what the other ulama have made the distinction. They said, mahabbat is for Ahlul Bayt, but ittiba is of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You have mahabbat with Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you take care of them. They have, mashallah, a duty. We have a duty of respect to them. If anybody needs any help, we would go out and help them. But when it comes to learning, we'll learn from Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who devoted their days and their nights studying from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sahabi kan nujum, biayhi muqtadaytum, ihtadaytum. He said, follow the footsteps of my Sahaba. He said, if you, whichever of them you followed, you would find the right path. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to follow and take the instructions from Sahaba, but about Ahlul Bayt, the only thing he said is have mahabbat for them. The hadith that I read earlier, وَذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. And last week, two weeks back, I read a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, have mahabbat for Allah because Allah feeds you. And have mahabbat for me because of your mahabbat with Allah. And mahabbat with my Ahlul Bayt because of your mahabbat with me. So we have respect for Ahlul Bayt, but we do ittiba of the Quran and the Sunnah, or the established teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which come from mainstream Sahaba. This is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, we follow his school, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah, we have respect for him. But in other areas, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's school is better organized, better structured, better principles. So we follow the teachings of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Moving on, Imam Malik rahimahullah comes next. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he also held the Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in high esteem. Inshallah, iske baare mein, we have only 20 minutes left. We have Durood Sharif to read. Bas ispe khatam karte hain. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Allah Ta'ala isko qubool farmaye. And whatever, Balkech, you'd be surprised what was coming later. The mainstream of this ummah has always been mindful of their duty to Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll continue this subject next week. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسقط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهل واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانهم النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وآل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله بالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله جی حضرات کتنا پڑھا درود شریف آپ نے اس ہفتے کی ماشاءاللہ let's do our کارگزاری کتنا ہو گیا